All right, folks, here we go. Another week has come and gone. The fifth week, it's the look back. Crazy week. Another Eagles victory, though it wasn't easy, and they don't get easier, and they don't get easy the longer you stay unbeaten. We know that watching over the years unbeaten teams. But the Eagles are doing it right, you know. Watching that game against Arizona, they ran, when it was tied 17, they ran the ball right down their throats, and that was good enough. And I wasn't worried about it. The kick, it was the battle of backup kickers, and our backup kicker beat their backup kicker. So it's all good and all great. But obviously, as we go into this, as we look back on this game, we all know what this Sunday night's game is. Dallas week. The Cowboys. And unfortunately, as much as we would sit there and say that Dallas is dead, and we all thought they were dead after week one, that's obviously not the case. Their defense is as good, maybe the best in the league right now. It has a 1980 feel, if y'all remember. Well, one of us was alive in 1980. But that year, the Eagles went to the Super Bowl. They had everything, all the tools, but they had one problem. Dallas chased them all season, and they had their battles. Could this very well be that way again this year in 2022? Is Dallas basically on the, almost on the same level as the Eagles? So, gentlemen, y'all thoughts on the game, and as we head into this Sunday night, this critical Sunday night game where we're going to know a lot about this Eagles team and obviously a lot about this those Cowboys that are coming. Where do you stand on the meter level of this Eagles team right now going to Dallas?
Yeah, well, you look at last week, they had a not their best game of the season, but they did enough to get the victory, and that's all that really matters, you know? You're not going to, in this league, you're not going to just blow out every team. You know, you're not going to win every game either, but you're definitely not going to blow everybody out every week. So, you know, they got out to a lead, and just like that Lions game, they almost gave it up, but, you know, a little bit of luck, a couple key plays, and they held on to the victory. So, it was overall, it was a good game, not a great game. Shout out to Cameron Dicker for winning NFC Special Team Player of the Week. I think that's every week this season an Eagles player has won one of the NFC Player of the Week awards. So, you know, it's a nice start, 5-0. Still the only undefeated team left. And that's what you need. You know, a quick start like this will make the rest of the season go be a lot easier to get in the playoffs. Obviously, now we're looking for the division, and Dallas is nipping at our heels here, sitting at 4-1, going into the Dallas game coming up on Sunday night. It's going to be a good one, and Dallas is tough. You know, they got the defense. I just don't think that they have the offense to hang in there with the Eagles. I think the Eagles will be able to score points on them. The Eagles have the offensive line. Dallas, you know, that defensive line is really good, and that's how they're really wearing teams out and beating them down. And but the Eagles' offensive line is top-notch, you know. So I think the Eagles' O-line can handle it. I think when they do give up pressure, obviously Jalen Hurts can buy some time. And I think that in a game like this, I think the Eagles should be able to score some points, and it'll be enough to get a win.
Yeah. And like you said, that hey, Eagles or no team is just going to blow out everybody all the time. I know there has been some chatter here, like, ooh, that was a rough game. It shouldn't have been that close. I'm like, wait a minute, that was the ultimate trap game. Fact they won is I'm actually more impressed than any other four wins that they went out there knowing. They had an emotional game before, Dougie P coming back, and then you got Dallas right after. And you're out here on the West Coast, we're in the desert, and you still pulled it off. So I'm very impressed. The only problem I had with that game, on the final Eagles drive, they're just grounding and pounding, and I loved it. And then on third and goal, he decides to throw a pass. What the hell? I'm like, what the, why stop that? You got the clock down to, I think, about 2.5. I'm trying to find that time left. You got the clock down to about 2.5 minutes. Does run it again. And if it don't work out, then you kick the field goal. But at least you make them use up some more clock. Thank goodness Arizona is dumber with the clock than we are. Thank goodness Tyler decided to slide before the first down. Thank goodness their kicker sucks. I don't know what was his problem. And when they were showing all of his misses that he was doing in pregame, and he did the exact same thing, kick it from the left hash mark and kick it a wide right. Oof. And then we bring out this guy's first game ever, kicker to kicker. and he's flawless. And that guy, oh, so it helps playing a dumb team. It helps, like I said, about Mr. Murray, saying that they initially thought about having him do some extra training, extra studying in a contract, and sometimes it shows up. So the Eagles played smart. They played dumb. We win. I'm for that. And one quick stat. Two quarterbacks who are playing, one of them is getting paid $1 million. The other one was getting paid $41 million. You tell me which one was better.
Yeah. But obviously, you know, watching the game on Sunday, that was interesting. I mean, it felt very quiet because it really wasn't a sexy game. Only a few of us got to see the game because the rest of the country got to see the Cowboys play the Rams. And obviously, watching that game on Sunday, I wasn't worried that they were going to lose because I don't think they were. I just think that Arizona at this point, they're so inconsistent that they just, that's what they are. You know, they're very inconsistent and they were going to make mistakes. And I mean, they showed what the kicker was trying to do. He threw the same kick, the same thing. And it was like, I knew that was going to happen, and the game was going to be in ours to win. But obviously, like I said at the opening, you know, when you're unbeaten, of course, teams are going to get the best. They're going to take a big shot, and that's not just divisional teams. That's anybody, the longer you stay unbeaten. And obviously, we had tests, and we passed that test. If y'all consider it a trap game, I agree with you. Because, yeah, it was Arizona, a place we never won at before, in the building we never won at. So, that's a big move. That's a big plus. But the problem is, on Sunday night, you have to face maybe the most aggressive defense you're going to face all season. And maybe the best defensive player this era of Reggie White and Lawrence Taylor in Micah Parsons. And as monstrous as he played, though he did suffer a groin injury later in that game that could cause interest as we go into Sunday. But obviously, like I said, I mean, looking at this game, because I'm going towards to Sunday night, I'm looking towards it because that's what's in front of me. You know, it's going to be interesting because I was kind of worried after Sunday of the way Dallas' defense has played. But obviously, I realized that, remember, Cooper Rush is just a game manager. You know, the bad news is he hasn't had a turnover yet. That's another problem. He hasn't turned the ball over. Hasn't had thrown one interception or even lost a fumble. But this offense is not an elite offense right now. They're not scoring many points while we score an average of 25 per game. So them scoring against us is going to be their biggest hindrance. You know, because we can score in bunches, and they have to need their defense to give them the ball to get them a good look. So, like I said, strength versus strength on Sunday night. Basically, the Eagles' defense has turned every offense over in the first 5 weeks. They have to do that against Cooper Rush. Because if they let Cooper Rush do whatever he wants, that could be the end of our unbeaten streak. And there's a lot of streaks on the line on Sunday. It's not just our unbeaten start. It's not just the division lead. Dallas also has something on the line. They've won their last 8 games within the division. So we're trying to end that streak. Something's got to give on Sunday night. Obviously, barring a tie, something will give. So, like I said, I mean, I'm looking forward to this game. And obviously, the way things are going right now, you know, like I said, not every game is going to be perfect. You're not going to play 17 perfect games. And, you know, it's just the makeup. It's the makeup and how you handle it. So, hopefully, everything goes well. And, like I said, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, you know, like Kwame said, though, Kyler Murray showed why there's some question marks about him. You know, he doesn't have the same work ethic that a guy like Jalen Hurts has, and he doesn't have really a great football IQ, which we saw at the end of the game. And, you know, one thing with Jalen Hurts you got to say is, you know, when he last couple years, especially the first year in the league, but last year too, there are a lot of people out there saying that, you know, Jalen Hurts isn't as good a passer and never will be anywhere near as good a passer as Carson Wentz. And, you know, he'll never be as talented or as good as Kyler Murray. And you know what? The last 2 weeks, he's come out and beaten them both down. And obviously, he looked like the better quarterback in both those games. So, fact of the matter is, right now, Jalen Hurts is much better than both those guys, and he's a top 10 quarterback right now in the NFL. So, we'll see. But when it comes to the Cowboys game too, you know, Cowboys got a defense, but so do the Eagles. You know, the Eagles have a tough D, and we're going to get after Cooper Rush. You know, that Dallas O-line is not very good, and Cooper Rush is not a great quarterback. He never will be. You know, he's been good at not turning the ball over, but they're not going to be able to put up a lot of points on this defense. So I think the Eagles will easily break 20 points, and if they break 20, they win that game.
Yes, and I must say I'm impressed. I didn't know that he was turnover-free. That's quite impressive, especially for a backup quarterback who was barely on the team beginning of the year. To go 4 games, get 4 wins, and not turn over the ball. I'm quite impressed. Because we just watched Trevor Lawrence come to Philly, 4 lost fumbles. You know, and he's their star. And I don't want to talk about what that team did Sunday. Oof. But Cooper, I've actually been impressed with Cooper. I said before, and I want to continue to say it, that day one, week one, when Dak went down, I said, damn. Because I'm more concerned about Cooper than Dak. And it's a shame to say that I've seen Dak's peak, and he's already coming down. So I was hoping they get Dak in today. I know they're not going to bring Dak back until they lose. there's no way at all. And then going to mess that up. And so they're going to lose Sunday. So after that, they can bring Dak back. So the Eagles are still going to take care of business. They're going to force a turnover or 2 from Cooper. They're going to confuse him, grab an interception. We'll definitely get a fumble recovery. No doubt about it. And we're going to take care of those Cowgirls when they come here Sunday night. Oh, I can't wait. I'm already been talking out of junk to my Cowboys fan. A buddy who's a Cowboys fan who lives in D.C. all his life. Don't ask me how that happened. But we were talking our junk already, and I wanted them here 4-1. I said, come on in 4-1. I want you at your best. Oh, you're handy when you lose. So Eagles will probably win, I'd say, by at least 7. At least by 7. And my biggest concern with the Cowboys is Pollard. He's running with some ferocity, and we got to make sure that our defense plays more aggressive again and stop getting back to the back. Gannon went kind of lackadaisical again with the Arizona game. So I'm going to ask them to do some more blitzes, some run blitzes at times, and make sure you keep them in check. But that's my only concern on that team.
Yeah. How smart are those Jones, is the Jones family? Boy, they know how to spend money, don't they? They spend money, all this money on Dak Prescott, but he has a shitty game week one, and his backup hasn't even turned the ball over and lost ever since. They spent all this money on Zeke Elliott. At the time, it was smart. It seemed smart because he was an elite runner, but that elite running is gone. He's done. And the fact is, Tony Pollard is the better runner. But the problem is, he'll never start. He'll be a Pro Bowler as a backup because of the fact that he has more talent and is much better than Zeke will ever be. And it's just, like I said, the way the Jones is with their money, it's going to eventually come back and haunt them to being a great team in the future. So, but anyway, like I said, I am concerned of a little bit, but I'm not too concerned because we have an elite offense. They don't. Our defense can get after people. So can theirs. But we'll be able to, if we can get to Cooper Rush and treat him like a backup quarterback instead of an elite game manager that he seems to be right now, we should have no problems taking care of business and going to 6-0 into our bye. So hopefully everything goes as planned Sunday. But anyway, like I said, this is a special look back because we have our special top five list. But before we get to that, we'll take care of a little bit of business here in our bet segment. We're going to go to our bet segment next. So, Matt, go ahead with what's our results of week five bets.
Kwame got one win. Kwame got his first win of the season. Rob remained at 500, and I was flying high going into the week, and I came back down to earth, went 0-2. Last week, the Lions killed me. I took them.
Uh-oh.
In 3 points.
Oh, yeah. Good grief.
Yeah, that was brutal. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to pick them again all year. And then I also had Miami, and right off the bat, Teddy Bridgewater goes down first series of the game, and that was it for them. So, 0-2 for me last week brings me down to 4-2. Then Rob here, you had the Titans giving up 2.5.
And that was close. And that was very close. If it wasn't for Carson Wentz actually executed that last touchdown, I would have lost.
Yeah. I know. It was close, but you pulled it out. So that got you your third win of the year. And then you also took the Steelers 14.
Reach.
That didn't work out too well for you.
Reach. Bad reach.
It's a lot of points. It's hard to pass up sometimes, but the Steelers are just an awful team this year. So that means you're out to 3-3. Then Kwame, you got your first win of the season, taking the Giants +8.
Yeah.
They ended up winning that outright.
I had to go across the pond to find a win. Can't get one
of the states. Yeah, right. That was a good pick too. Good pick. That was nice. And then you got the loss on the Eagles.
Yeah.
-5, unfortunately.
Couldn't get the cover.
Yeah. But most important is Eagles win the game, and then
exactly
fantasy and bets and all that stuff come secondary. But
that's right.
Yeah. But that's your first win of the year. You also have a tie, so that puts you at 1-3-1 on the season. So, still anybody's game here.
Okay.
So let's go to our week six betting lines.
Okay, so I'll go first here, like we've been doing. I got three games I was thinking about, but I only picked two. So the first one I'm going with here is I'm going with the Colts. Giving up 2 to Jacksonville. The game's in Indianapolis. They've already lost to Jacksonville once this year. And we know what happened to them in week 18 last year. I think this is a revenge game for them. I think they're sick of losing the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I think they're going to be extra motivated this week. So I'm going with the Colts. And then my other pick, another team that hasn't been off to a great start, but, you know, they got the all-time greatest quarterback, and that guy's not going to just be happy with being 3-2 and barely beating teams like the Falcons. So I'm going with the Bucs here, giving up 8 to Pittsburgh. And, you know, just like last week, Pittsburgh played, got 14 and got crushed. I think they're going to get crushed here against Tampa as well.
Wow. Even at home, Pittsburgh's going to get crushed. Okay. You know, probably. I just don't trust Tampa right now giving up points. They damn near let Atlanta backdoor in couple days ago. Okay, I'm looking here. I am liking. Oh, that's a weird one. I don't know if I touched that. I'm actually. This is my first time looking at the spread for the Eagles game. I realize it's favored by 6. That's nice. That's nice. I'm going to still leave them. Well, I did say 1-7. I guess that should be bold enough. But let me look at. I want to take a big spread and pray that the Panthers can stay within 10 in L.A. Yeah, I know that's a tough one, but because L.A. is, I told someone, I don't know if I was talking about, I told somebody, no, I was talking to some other friend. What we saw last year with the Rams was their peak. Everything lined up. They bring in a hungry Stafford, they're out of range. The team was already championship ready. They just knew they had to switch golf for Stafford. They bring in Von Miller, bring in Odell Beckham, and then they find out, and then Cooper just going all over the place. And the Super Bowl happened to be in L.A. I mean, come on. So everything lined up, and now he's had Stafford got what he wanted. Now we're going to see the decline of the Stafford as he fades into retirement. All those guys I just mentioned are gone. And the offensive line is decimated. So there's not much about that team. There's no way they're coming close to repeating. So I'll take the Panthers plus the 10. And I'm going to be bold. I'm going back to the Eagles. What the hell? Take me minus 6. That's it. Eagles -6.
All right. Well, I mean, I've already picked one easily here. I mean, right now, if the playoffs began in the AFC, guess who would be in the playoffs? The New York Jets.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The Jets? Really? Now, they're going up to Green Bay on Sunday, and the line is on my page. I'm on DraftKings. 7.5. Now, normally, you're going to Green Bay, you should get crushed. But this is not that Green Bay anymore. Barely beating a no-name quarterback and then losing to the Giants. You know, losing to the Giants, choking that game away. The Jets have a very decent defense. Now, I don't think they're going to win outright. I don't think they're going to win outright. I think the Packers probably do win. But I see the Jets covering that 7.5. I really do. I think the Jets cover. This will be a fight, because something ain't right with Aaron Rodgers and that offense. It's still something's just not clicking right now. And the Jets, they sneaked away. They're coming off a dominant win, maybe the most dominant win in about 4 or 5 years. So I'm picking the Jets to cover that 7.5. Now, obviously, a team that's kind of the sleeping giant in the NFC that we always talk about. Matt always talks about them as a sleeper team. The 49ers, they stay on the road, basically on the East Coast, almost. Right now, we watching the Braves and Phillies. In the ATL, they're going to play the Falcons, and they're only getting 5. They're only 5-point favor, 5.5-point favor. Now, yeah, the Falcons aren't terrible, but the 49ers are blowing teams out. They're very tough on the road, and I think they'll cover the 5. I think they'll win the game and cover that 5. So I'm going with that matchup.
Okay. Well, for Kwame, you know, I do like that Carolina pick. I agree with you. I think they're they'll cover that. They just fired Matt Rhule. I think that's going to have the team more motivated this week, obviously. They weren't motivated already. And then I don't bet on the Eagles, so I don't have any opinion on that. But,
I would never put money, real money on them because of that. But,
yeah,
I'll do it here.
Yeah, I'm superstitious, so if I would have even put them on here, I'd think they're going to lose. But, for Rob, for the Jets, you know, I thought about Green Bay for a second there, just because after that big win by the Jets, which, Teddy Bridgewater got injured, but they beat Miami. I could see this being a letdown game for them, too. Jets, we'll see how they do. The Niners, they should be able to cover that, I think. But Atlanta's a little tough. They're the only team that's 5-0 against the spread this year. So they're keeping the games close, at least.
Still early.
Yeah.
Still early.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I like these picks. We'll see what happens. The Jets actually like the road. They're 2-0 on the road. So I can see them going to Green Bay and maybe pulling off an upset. I can see that.
Okay, now we reach our main event of the look back, and we do. And unlike Colin Cowherd and Stephen A. Smith, who do a top 5 or top 10 list every week, we're not that crazy here. We watch the evolution of teams over a period of a segment. We're not going to just give out a list every week. We would be out of a business. We'd be out of a job. We would be talking to the people here and sending out this videos. So every 5 weeks in the season, we put out a top 5 list in both conferences. Kwame, you know about this, so welcome aboard to this new one. So, like I said, we will give you from 5 to 1 our top 5 teams from 5 to 1 in both conferences. So we're going to start with the AFC first. The AFC, y'all go ahead.
Okay. I start with number my 15 and go up to number 1. My number 5 team in the conference is Tennessee. As it seems like every year, they aren't the most talented team, but they're tough and they win games. And they're sitting at 3-2, leading the division. They're just not an impressive team, but they're well coached and they win games. So I got them at number 5. Baltimore sitting at 3-2. That defense has been killing them, but they can put up points with the best of them. So I got Baltimore at number 4. I'm not knocking Miami for the loss last week to the Jets because of Teddy Bridgewater being injured, because Tua was out with the concussion. He's out again this week, and Bridgewater's not playing. So Miami is going with that third-string quarterback again this week, which is going to hurt them. But I got them at number 3 because when Tua was playing, that offense was elite. And even though their defense has been horrible this year, it's another team that just can put up points with anybody. And then the top two are obvious. It's a matter of which order you want to put them in. And they're both playing this weekend. I got KC at number 2. Main reason being because their defense is not very good either. They've allowed 125 points, which, compared to the rest of the division, that's actually pretty good. But compared to the rest of the AFC, that's not good. And their offense is number 1 in the NFL in points scored. Obviously, they got Mahomes. But, again, that defense is going to hurt them in the playoffs. And then number 1 is Buffalo. They're the complete team. They're the team. They got it all. They got the offense. They got the defense. They can run the ball behind Devin Singletary and Josh Allen's ability to run. They can pass the ball, you know, obviously Josh Allen and those receivers. They were missing two of their top targets in the passing game last week, and it didn't even matter. So Buffalo's number 1, obviously. And One other thing I'll say is I did leave the Chargers off this list. Again, another team with an absolutely horrendous defense, and they're sitting at 3-2, just like Tennessee and Baltimore, and actually Miami as well. But yeah, I just think that that defense for the Chargers, and the Chargers is just a team that they always lose close games, like I've been saying for years. So I left them off.
Yeah. You had Miami at what, 5 or the, was that 3? I missed.
I think he has him at number 3.
Yeah, Miami at 5 or 3. Oh, 3?
Yeah, he had him at 3.
Yeah, I have Tennessee 5, Baltimore 4, Miami 3, KC 2, Buffalo 1.
Okay. Tennessee. Okay. Oh, you want me to do AFC? Oh, I thought.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll do my AFC then. Interesting about Tennessee. That team, 2 weeks was dead. I thought they just forgot how to play football. And now they rip off 3 in a row, leading the South. When I was about to crown Jacksonville, my old boy Dennis, and you want to crown him? Crown his ass. Well, I was about to crown Jacksonville as the king of the South. And then they lay that egg to Houston. Ugh. I don't know what that was about. Unless they went through the trap game syndrome that we thought we did, having an emotional game against us, and then going home and stinking up. So, number 5 for me is going to be. I'm still going to go with keep Miami in the top 5. Like I said, I think with Teddy, he'll be back. Like I said, they just took the extra precaution to keep him out because of a concussion situation lately. Going to give to the LA Chargers. And I know they got their problems, but I'm a big fan of Eckler. I love the way he runs, and I know the defense needs some fixing. They've given 136 points and scored 122, so they're a little unbalanced with the points, and that mainly happened that Jacksonville game. Just blew out the numbers. Number 3, I am going with our friends Baltimore. They look impressive. And then number 2, KC. Number 1, Buffalo.
Well, like I said, I look at y'all lists and I'm pretty impressed. And, you know, y'all pretty much close. But unfortunately, one team y'all both have, I'm disqualifying for now, and that's Miami. Because... yeah, Tua's good, and that offense obviously is lethal. But like I said, I mean, I saw him get blown out by the Jets. I can't put him on my list if you're getting blown out by the Jets. And we don't know how good the Jets are. They may not be that good, but right now, if the playoffs begin, Miami's on the outside looking in. Jets would be in. So, you know, I'm not putting the Jets in my top 5, but that was pretty damn interesting. And Sauce Gardner has put himself out there for Defensive Rookie of the Year. That's a name you're going to hear a lot over the next several years. So, like I said. But to my list, atop my 5th team on the AFC list is a team y'all don't have, the defending AFC champions, Bengals, Cincinnati. I mean, obviously, yeah, they're not playing great right now. You know, the loss to Dallas looks not good. And obviously, they lost to my Ravens, but they're still a threat. They're still a threat. This is a team I can still see playing in January and deep into January. They still got Burrow. Obviously, they got guys out there that can get it done. So I'm still believing in Cincinnati in a way that they will be in the postseason. Number 4, shockingly, I put the Chargers there because – even though, yeah, I'm not impressed with what happened to them. They got blown out by Jacksonville, and they've looked like craps ever since. They still have Justin Herbert. And they're still a team that, yeah, they're struggling to win games in the clutch. But they're good enough. They're still a good. They're still a good enough football team that, like I said, as overrated as the AFC West looks like at the present time, I can't say that it's not all four of the teams, but I can see the Chargers still getting their wins and getting in the mix. So
I think you're four, number three. That's what I might have missed.
No, I'm at number four. I'm at number four.
Oh, okay. I thought the Jets was five. And
no, Jets are now on my list. Jets are now on my list. Yeah. All right. Number three is obvious. My Ravens are number three. They're a solid number three. Lamar Jackson's having another dominant year, but the defense is giving me pain. But luckily, on Sunday night, they had their best game of the year, and that's something to think about. You know, if they can turn that around and be more aggressive like they were against Joe Burrow, and obviously that O-line's still not that great, then Baltimore's still a threat. But they're definitely not number one because they still have that weakness and they gotta get their ass together there. So, but Lamar is great. He still leads in rushes and still leads in touchdown passes and all that. He's doing a great job so far, and keep that up, and Baltimore will still be a mix. Kansas City's number two, but I'm concerned. I think that, you know, the Rockets still doing his thing, and obviously they're scoring points and they're doing what they have to do, but I watched that Monday night game, you know, or listened to it, obviously Kwame and I, we bowl, but obviously I wasn't impressed. You know, they nearly lost the game. In theory, they should have lost the game. The Raiders cost, you know, the Raiders are terrible enough that they cost themselves, but I think that the Chiefs, there's something that's they have to find to get back to the Super Bowl if they're going to get back there. It's still early in the year, so obviously they may not be at number two come in five more weeks when we do this again, but right now they're at number two. And Buffalo's number one. I mean, their only flub is obviously the Miami game, but this is still they're the team to beat in the AFC right now. They're bum-rushing people. They have three wins by over 20 points. So, yeah, they're doing what they have to do. Big game Josh is doing his thing. And so far, it's looking like they're the team that everybody's going to be chasing right now. But, hell, we have a big matchup to preview on Sunday and what be the game of the AFC, for the AFC conference, the game of the year potentially. So, a lot to put into there. But Buffalo's number one on all of our lists. All right, so we go through that list, and now we're going to the NFC and our top five lists. Let's see if we're close, if we agree or disagree. Go ahead.
All right, well, obviously I'm going to skip over the 2 and 3 teams like the Rams. Even though the Rams came in the season as the Super Bowl favorites, they just haven't been playing well. My number five team here, going straight to 4-1 team, the Vikings. Their one loss we saw against the Eagles, we crushed them. They're not a bad team. They're a good team, obviously, at 4-1, but they have too many holes. They're just not quite in that top tier, in my opinion, but they are number five. My number four team is a 3-2 team, with San Francisco. They got off to a rough start there this season with Trey Lance, their quarterback, but they have an elite defense. They have a head coach who is a top-notch play caller, and now with Jimmy G at quarterback, they have a capable quarterback. So they're definite Super Bowl contenders, and they're going to be a team to watch out for all year as an Eagles fan watching the rest of this conference. Number three, going right to Dallas here, sitting at 4-1. They're not quite in the top two, mainly because of that offense. Okay, whether it's Dak or Cooper Rush, that offense just is not going to be. I don't think it's going to be top 15 in the NFL this year. So it's going to hurt them. It's going to hurt them. You know, you can have a really good team with a bad defense, but you can't really have a Super Bowl team with a bad offense. Okay, so they're just on the outside of the top two, but they're right there. They're right there with that defense that will keep them in games. I just don't think they have what it takes to win a high scoring game. Number two goes to Tampa for me. They also have a top notch defense. They've beaten Dallas already. And that offense, again, a lot of injuries on the offensive line. They haven't looked great, but I think they have what it takes to turn it around. They will get some of those injured players back over the next, few weeks. And who knows, man, they might even go out and sign Odell Beckham as bring in another wide receiver, So I got Tampa number two, and let's face it, on top of all that, they have Tom Brady. So I got them number two, and number one is obvious, the Eagles, the only undefeated team left in the NFL, sitting at 5-0. Well, we already talked about them. What else can we say? They got a really good defense. They got one of the best offenses in the league right now. Very complete team on all sides of the ball. Hell, even special teams, which is considered their weakness, they haven't been bad. Maybe their turn game hasn't been amazing, but and maybe the punter there, Sipos, he booms punts through the end zone consistently. Besides that, this is a pretty complete team. So I got Eagles number one, and, honorable mention. Call me a hater for putting them outside the top five, but I'll give honorable mention to the Giants sitting at 4-1. I just don't believe in them. They have had a couple good wins, though. I mean, they did beat Tennessee. They did beat Green Bay. I just don't believe in them. I don't believe in Danny Dimes. So I left them off the top five.
Okay. My five, I'm starting off near your neck of the woods with Tampa. And they just barely make it in. I was debating whether they can put them in. But I'll just give them the nod. They still got Mr. Brady and their defense is still pretty tight. Four, going out west, San Fran. I love the fact they still got Debo, even though Jimmy G scares me, and I haven't had fun saying they're going to be better off with him. But there are moments I just look at him and say, oh, my gosh. But I still find that whole team to be solid enough that they will probably wind up winning that division. Number three. The team no one wants to give the respect to, the great New York Giants. As you just said, Matt, they beat not only the winning Green Bay Packers, they beat the new division-leading Tennessee Titans. And their defense is solid. They're right now they're giving up only 93 points. Still a few more than the Eagles. But don't give up 93 points. It's nice. Mr. Danny Dimes, the funny thing you said that, the game was playing Sunday morning, and so I'm watching a little bit. I was on my way to church. I saw a little bit before I left, and the Green Bay was beating on them. I get to church. I'm following it on my phone. I'm not even actually in a sanctuary. I'm downstairs. I'm not paying attention. It's also lapping, not passing me attention. So I'm looking at the phone, looking at the stats. But the internet in there is messed up. I was going to watch it on my laptop, so I couldn't even watch a game. And I'm saying, well, Dallas, Giants are coming back and winning. It must be because Saquon's having a hell of a game. And the magic formula to me is that Danny Dimes throws fewer than 25 passes and the ball off more than 30 times. However, something different happened in this game. Danny Dimes was throwing with a nice completion percentage. Saquon was only at, I think, 15 carries. I'm looking it up now. And made 50 yards out of the pedestrian game. So Mr. Dimes was throwing dimes for a change. So he might be figuring a little something out. Number two, Dallas. And number one, the King Division. division in the conference, NFC East, it was the Philadelphia Eagles. So your top, my top three is all in the best division in football, bar none.
Okay, well, how about that? You got all three NFC East teams at the top, huh? That's something we haven't, I don't think we haven't done since we started doing this. But anyway, like I said, as we move along with my top five, an honorable mention that Matt would say is the 49ers. They just missed on making my top five list, you know, and, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, obviously, they're looking good, and like I said, they kind of saved themselves the embarrassment from Trey Lance. Not that Trey Lance is an embarrassment, but, you know, being injured and all that. But with Jimmy G, they have an identity. But still, they have to, you know, they have to do more. They have to do a little more to be on my top five list. So, anyway, with time constraints, I got to hurry up here. Number five is the Giants. I mean, hell, they have two comeback wins, and they're not against scrubs. Tennessee and Green Bay, playoff lifers over the last several years. So, I mean, obviously Danny Dimes and Saquon are doing their things, but can I trust them? Obviously, they're well coached. That obviously helps. They're very well coached, and that's why they're where they're at. They're kind of like the Eagles last year. They're not contenders. They're not Super Bowl contenders, but they could be playing in January. They could be playing Wild Card Weekend. They have that look and that feel. So, like I said, they keep up the good work. It's going to be tough. Their schedule gets a little tough here. They have a tough matchup Sunday, but we'll see. Tampa Bay is number four. They're still decent, but there's a lot of concerns, a lot of injuries. And Tom Brady is 45 years old. Not saying that he's over the hill. That's stupid talk. He can still throw with the best and all that, but he's starting to lose a little bit. He's getting to the point where this team may have to carry him soon. And that may not be good. That may not be good in the long term. And like I said, Tampa Bay, obviously, they're going to win their division. The NFC South is a joke right now. So, but right now, I'm a little concerned about this, about Brady, this Brady bunch. So we'll see. But, you know, we'll see how they do here. Number three, obviously, is the Vikings. As much as I don't like the Vikings, but hey, they're winning the NFC North at the moment. They're beating their team. They're beating the teams they have to beat. Kirk Cousins is doing what Kirk Cousins normally does, and it's all good. You know what? You know, let's see. I mean, obviously, Green Bay, they have to still deal with them because it's obvious that that's their competition. One of these guys are winning the North, so we'll see. But Vikings are. Don't have another loss outside that Monday night beatdown we gave them. So, it's all it is. Dallas is number two, and I'm concerned because, obviously, their defense is as good as anybody right now, and they might be the best defense, as much as I hate to admit that. You know, they're playing very solid. They're playing really solid. They're getting to the quarterback, and they're obviously turning them over. Look at Matt Stafford on Sunday. He looked like a tinfoil. But their offense is a question mark. They're the weak link, and obviously Cooper Rush, he's only the quarterback until he messes up. So we'll see if he survives Sunday, because they're leaving the division, or they're going to be two games out, and he's going to be back on the bench. So we'll see. And the Eagles, obviously, why not? First time I've done this top five list, and they're at the top, and they deserve to be at the top. They have everything going for them. And just keep this up. Let's just keep this shit up. But anyway, we have only 10 minutes left. So we go to our favorite segment. Our surprises and disappointments for this past week. Week 5.
Okay. Yeah, we have a couple minutes. So, I gotta give a disappointment here to the Lions. I mean, I picked them in our pool here to get a victory, and they get shut out by New England. I mean, New England's got a pretty good D, but come on, man. I mean, it's not like, I don't know. I don't even know what to say to that one, you know? So they were a major disappointment. Surprise for me. Uh, You know, I'm just going to go with I'll go with Dallas. I'll give them credit. I mean, they beat down the Rams. I thought that the Rams would put up a much better fight than that. So I'll give Dallas credit. They surprised me last week.
Okay. Can I have two disappointments? I'll give it a surprise. First, the surprise was not the Cowboys so much. My surprise was really the 49ers beatdown of the Panthers. Like, I thought they could win, but geez, I guess that's what caused them to have to fire Matt Rule. I mean, I didn't think Matt would get fired this soon. I thought he might not make it through December, but whew, they got him up out of there. Quick two disappointments was, one, the hell happened in Jacksonville. I said that earlier. How do you only score 6 points against the winless Texans? Your division rivals. You put up 38 in L.A. Come to Philly, you're competitive, and so you fumble. But I'm thinking you're going to come home and give the Texans the beat down. Six? And then the other disappointment is not in the team. It's the game. That Thursday night game, thank God I missed it. What the hell? Just 7 field goals? No one can score a touchdown? I happened to come home, what was that, Thursday? Oh, yeah, I was doing this call. Then I went out, washed my car. And so by the time I came in the house, here they are, heading to overtime at 9-9. And I'm so glad I missed the game. But this is, like, so disappointing that the Broncos are 2-3, 12-9 loss. Yeah, I don't know what to say about that squad. I know how you feel about that coach, Matt. He's probably the reason. And your boy, Sherman. Ooh, did you see him after the game? He was so animated. He said, I'm having flashbacks. They decided to throw the ball instead of just running it at the goal line. He had flashbacks to the Super Bowl. Oh, they were letting them have it. Oh, boy. That was my disappointment.
Well, my biggest surprise, shockingly, is New York Jets. I mean, they're 3-2 right now, and they would be in the playoffs right now. Nobody expected that at this moment. And people claim, oh, the Jets are actually a contending team. Well, like I said, I mean, you know, it's obvious that they stole a couple victories, but then this is their big win. They beat a Miami team that's dismantled with injuries, but they put up 40. And I don't remember the last time they put up 40. And you put up 40 in this league, your chances of making the playoffs are pretty decent. So, but obviously, you know, Robert Saleh is doing a decent job with the defense. Sauce Gardner looks like all of an elite corner, even though it's early to tell. And obviously, like I said, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they go to Green Bay and win. I wouldn't be surprised at all, just the way Green Bay's been playing. You know, and like I said, I mean, we'll see. Obviously, my big disappointment is Jacksonville. I mean, a few weeks ago, I'm crowning them division champs, and they're going and they look like a team that could threaten the establishment and all that. Boy, that changed a lot in 2 weeks. You get crushed in Philly. That's one thing, but then you lose to Houston at home, and the game was trashy. I mean, come on now. I mean, like I said, it's abnormal that this AFC is kind of weak. Weaker than I expected, but it seems like something is weird. And to me, I don't even know if I could consider Jacksonville even a contending team anymore after these last 2 weeks. I mean, after that stinker against Houston? Come on now. I mean, Houston's supposed to be the worst team with the worst roster. Why do they look like they're in every game? That doesn't make any sense right now. Somebody's going to put Houston in their corner soon. It's obvious, but then again, you know, like I said, that Denver indie game did push the league back about 70 years. It seemed like, I mean, it's almost a shame what's happened to Russell Wilson this year. It's almost criminal, and the fact that he has a shoulder injury on top of that makes it even worse. So, like I said, we'll continue that movement moving forward. So, all right, even though we talk about how bad that Broncos and Colts game is, we have another great game Thursday tomorrow night. This one should be game of the year. Oh, hell no. It's not. It is not. It is Commanders and Bears. Two struggling teams in the NFC placing each other. And I don't know. Like I say, go ahead. I don't even know what to say about this matchup. Just go ahead.
Yeah, this is back-to-back awful games. I mean, at least last week you thought those two teams, at least coming into the year, you thought those two teams could be good, but this is just two awful teams here in Washington and the Bears. For Washington, you know what, without getting too much into it, I'll just talk about the quarterbacks for a second. Justin Fields last week threw for 15 of 21 for 208 yards and a touchdown. Those numbers aren't too hot, but they're actually some of his best numbers of his short career so far, because you know, he set career highs in both completion percentage and passer rating. And they did come close to beat Minnesota. Washington came close to beating Tennessee, threw for 359, and almost had a game-winning drive until, you know, he turned back into Carson Wentz. So, it's about all I got for these two teams. So, I'm just going to give you a score. I'm going to go with Wentz in Washington. I just think they have the better overall team. So, Washington, final score, 16-13. I think it'll be a low-scoring game like last week.
Yeah, I could believe that. I'll make mine quick. Yeah, the Commanders have a 19th-ranked offense, and the Bears are 31st. However, Commanders are 32nd-ranked defense, and the Bears have a 5th-ranked defense. So we're going to see two teams that are kind of, So my prediction, the last time they met, like 3 years ago, Bears beat the Commanders 31-15. Both teams were very different then. I'm going to go... I'm going to go with the Bears 10-7.
10-7? Yeah, it might seem that way. I mean, this matchup is... And if you're a Chicago Bears fan, shame on you what they're going to be wearing tomorrow night. You're going to be looking at spandex orange. That's what they're wearing. All orange. It's going to look crazy on TV.
Oh, hurt my eyes.
Oh, my God. It's just it's going to be terrible. And why not? I mean, we need a crappy game here. We saw one last week. We're going to see one this week with actual crappy teams. I mean, Washington's just, you know, they're what they are. But it is intriguing because this could be the last start for Carson Wentz if he looks like crap again, because he got called out by his coach in the press this week, and that's been going around the wire. So for Carson Wentz, this is a do-or-die moment in his career already. You know, his confidence has reached an all-time low after last week's pathetic loss. So here we go again. But I agree with you, Kwame. The Bears are not winning, are not losing this game. Not at home. The score is going to be pathetic. Well, not too pathetic. I think they'll try to... One team will get at least a touchdown, maybe. So I got the Bears winning in a field goal, 19-16. That's the final score.
Cool.
All right. Well, like I said, we went through it. We are ready to single off here. Join me and Matt on Sunday for another look into the games. Week 6, lock of the week, game of the week, intriguing matchup. And then we were going to say something about something this week. We will say for next week's program. And obviously it involves referees and bad calls. So look for that in next week's program. But we have reached our end, and we will talk to y'all, or Matt and I will talk to y'all on Sunday, and Kwame will join us Wednesday, as always. Good night.
Yes, sir. Good night.
Yeah, man.